Hey everyone, welcome back or welcome to Animoca Brands Open Metaverse Podcast. Today we have a super exciting guest. Before that, you know the drill. I like to start off with a fun fact. And today my fun fact is, despite the fact that I haven't really done too many of these as of yet, I'm already regretting the fact that I have to start out with fun facts. There is another fun fact, however, about our guests. Our guest, in fact, I've said fact a lot, but our guest, in fact, has more followers on X than people I've met in my entire life. It is our absolute pleasure to welcome to the podcast Mr. Jason Brink, CEO of Datagram.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Happy to be here with you guys today.
We are happy to have you. I'm literally paid to be here, so I'm happy.
I'm not, and which leads me to question a lot of things right now.
Don't. It's company. Okay. It's okay. The company that counts, right?
Okay. Yeah, deal. Fair enough.
Deal. Okay. Let's hop into it, man. Like, I'd really like to know about your background. I mean, you are a co-founder as well of Datagram. Mm-hmm. How did this idea, what was the genesis of the idea? Why did you end up seeing that hole and trying to execute on it? And how are things going? What is it that you're doing, right?
I mean, so I think in order to understand what I'm doing right now, you sort of have to understand a little bit of where I've been in the space. I originally got into blockchain in 2013. Started looking at things sort of from an academic perspective, which unfortunately I did not buy a ton of Bitcoin when it was like
academics
a couple dollars, because I was, I was writing papers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best to keep it like PG-13 here. I'll try.
No need.
Okay.
No, we can cut it.
Great. Profanity is the crutch of inarticulate motherfuckers. It's wonderful. So I was involved at a sort of an academic level where I was reading things and writing papers and stuff like that. In 2014, I won an award from the Global Development Network and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for some of the work that I was doing with blockchain to a little tiny bit, because it's cool.
It's
was really cool,
boast,
man.
It's a worthy boast.
I mean, it was spawned from my time doing disaster relief work in Haiti, and I understood that there were massive holes in the foreign aid pipeline.
True.
And a lot of stuff that is happening with Doge in the United States now and Elon and stuff feeds into this very interestingly.
Let's just clarify Doge.
Department of Government Efficiency.
Yes.
So, USAID was, there was a lot of waste, put it that way.
Yeah.
And so I was working on trying to find a way to fix some of the problems with the leaky foreign aid pipeline. And so that led to, the creation of a project. I tried to promote that for a while. It ended up not being able to go anywhere because I found that, generally speaking, governments and NGOs were not super interested in adopting new technology, because the tried and true methods were sort of the more comfortable. And
as
not,
governments are, right?
Yeah, they're not super fast, right?
A ton of red tape that they have to
jump
over.
Exactly. And so after that, I still wanted to find a way to help the people that were, sort of the most in need. And so I got involved in Play and Earn Gaming. Spent a bunch of time, 4 years as president of blockchain at Gala. Gala Games. Yeah. And went from that, where we deployed a DPIN network, which is decentralized physical infrastructure, a DPIN network that was, is actually quite important in the space for everybody who's in Web3. I mean, even today, Gala's DPIN network supports about 85% of all of the DHT routing on IPFS, which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
A lot of letters.
Right. So many letters. So many. Lots of them.
Yeah.
It's like seven whole letters. That's crazy. Didn't quite go far enough. Okay.
Gotcha.
I just spent a bunch of time there and wanted to kind of push it further. So when I left Gala, I wanted to find a way to take DPIN to the next level. And I found a way to do that when I began working with Dr. William Nguyen, who's this absolutely brilliant technologist out of Vietnam. Dr. William is probably one of the people that gives off the best jovial mad scientist vibes. Very positive mad scientist. Not like crazy Doc Brown, but
imparting information, trying to pull people up.
Exactly. Very, very positive. but definitely still mad scientist vibes.
Yeah.
He was involved in the late 1990s doing like Beowulf clusters and distributed computing at Lawrence Livermore Labs in California. Later went on to do distributed computing for computational biology at Harvard Med. Like, dude is just next level brilliant.
Distributed computing for computational biology is a string of words that I didn't think would all come together
but
at
it,
once.
It does. And the thing is that he did it because he was bored. So like when you're pursuing a PhD in computational biology using distributed computing because you're bored, that's kind of next level stuff.
Yes.
And so when I started working with him, I realized that there's really something here. And this is the birth of Datagram.
Okay.
And so what we've done at Datagram is we've recognized that everyone has the ability to contribute to a deep end network, an infrastructure network.
If we could just press the pause button quickly.
Of course.
Let's kind of laymanize or put into layman terms what DPIN is. I mean, the acronym stands for Decentralized Physical Infrastructure,
but nobody knows what that means, and it's used as a buzzword all the time.
Yeah, but specifically to Datagram, right? And the way that Datagram is using it is pretty much indicative of how it is and can be used.
It is the way it's supposed to be used. Okay?
Right, and so it would be really, really, beneficial.
So what Decentralized Physical Infrastructure is, and this goes all the way back to the work that Dr. William was doing, is finding ways to take complex processes and break them across multiple pieces of machinery.
Yeah.
So rather than having a single server that does a bunch of stuff, you have a bunch of small servers that do things, or even an accretion of a bunch of large servers that do really big things. That's fine too. But the main point in the case of Datagram is to find ways to use the distributed nature of everyone's devices, everyone's computers, everyone's, you know, everything to create a way for people to compute in a parallel fashion, whatever it is that they want to do. Now, whether this is compute or storage or bandwidth or whatever it is that they do, this is what Datagram does. And DPIN, that's what that means.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions that I'd like to kind of go into around DPIN and its et cetera. But please do continue in terms of what you're building at Datagram.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll kind of double click.
Sure.
It's such a corporate word, double click, but we'll
we're gonna have a touch point on it. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, exactly. Why you did pull out the Trump voice.
No, it wasn't even a very good Trump voice. I'll get to a better Trump voice. We'll do that later. Do that later. You can't force it. So the thing though with Datagram and the interesting connection between play and earn gaming and DPIN, okay, is that the reason that I was involved in play and earn gaming and the reason that I really liked play and earn gaming is because it gave an opportunity for everybody to get involved and to get something out of the concept
democratization.
Democratization, but also this was when I did my TEDx talk, this is what it was on. But the idea that you could have somebody in the developing world contribute something to an ecosystem, in this case game play, you know, you play the game, you earn something, and then having someone else pay for that thing. Okay, now if you're doing play and earn gaming and you know you're able to earn enough, you know, for a coffee in the developing world, that's cool.
Yeah,
you got a coffee. Nobody's gonna be upset about a coffee, right? But in the developing world, the cost of your Starbucks.
You said developing twice. I think you meant
developed world. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Is the coffee. And then in the developing world, in the emerging
market. That $5 coffee could be something that feeds your family or, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and so when we look at Datagram and DPIN, you know, having anyone have the ability to contribute to that network.
Yeah.
And potentially get something out of it, and especially in a way where they have the ability through their contribution to steer other people to use it, which could benefit them. That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's why I got involved in this. And then when you begin looking at the other knock-on benefits of that, of, you know, data sovereignty, security, you know, the ability for you to protect your own information, the ability, anti-censorship, you know, censorship resistance of things, you know, that all comes together in this big, you know, megazord of awesome that is what we're building.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, so I definitely understand from a utilization perspective, from, I suppose, eliminating single point of failure risk,
yeah.
why you don't want, and even from a cost perspective, why you don't want to have everything necessarily centralized yeah. in a data, in a server farm,
right.
and data centers, etc. But in the application and implementation of mm-hmm. DPIN and as it runs, mm-hmm. are there actually any tangible advantages, quantifiable advantages versus the existing infrastructure? Because
you're an incredibly active speaker. I'm just watching you like shadow box with your mic right now. Fantastic. I love it.
Telling me I literally cannot wear a mic on myself.
No, I know. This is amazing. I'm loving watching this because you're doing a little samba with your mic. It's great.
That's not necessarily positive feedback. No, I'll take it.
It's good. You're very active.
Right. So did you hear the question?
I did. It was alluring. I have to give you that, Rob. So the thing is when we look at quantifiable benefits, okay?
Well, advantages as well, right? Over the existing infrastructure.
Of course. Yeah. So for example, one of these things is cost, mm-hmm. okay? Now, when you have a centralized infrastructure, okay, what you have is a vertically integrated supply chain, essentially, mm-hmm. of data and service.
Yeah.
Okay, so... if you were to use a large three-letter server farm, mm-hmm. you know, organizer.
Yeah.
I'm just for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason yeah. they're all three letters.
I don't know why. That actually is actually true.
Yeah.
Weird. I'm not picking on anyone here when I say this.
Yeah.
Fortunately. Oh. I don't want to make enemies here. Yeah. We want to be friends, guys. Yeah. We want to be friends. We want to work with you, okay? Come to us. It's fine. So... when you work with one of them, they control the bandwidth, mm. they control the hardware,
yeah.
they control the compute,
yeah.
they control how much compute you get,
yeah.
they can throttle these things up and down as they see fit.
They own the infrastructure. Okay.
They own all of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Which means that if you work with them, you're paying them for all of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's okay. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, there's demand for it. That's why it exists.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, but the key here is that it doesn't necessarily have to be that mm-hmm. way. You can create a system where you have an ecosystem and a protocol that via the combined effort of the entire group of people that are contributing compute, contributing storage, contributing yeah. bandwidth, you don't necessarily need to go to this centralized source.
Okay.
And what this means is that you could have a 70 to 90% cost savings.
Okay. 70 to 90%
cost savings
on
whatever it is that you're doing.
You're basically your infrastructure costs.
Exactly. Okay.
Crazy.
And on top of that, when you use this,
yeah.
you're not only are you saving on your infrastructure costs, your infrastructure is becoming more resilient. Okay.
How so?
So for example, and I'm going to have to tell you a little anecdote.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to give one of these big three-letter organizations
a shout-out,
compliment
yeah.
a little bit. I have to go back several years in order to come up with this anecdote because AWS East has not fallen over for several years. But when it did fall over, okay, one of the games that we had at Gala Games was this game called Last Expedition. Mm-hmm. Fantastically, fantastically awesome game.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was well received by the market as well.
Yeah, everyone loved it. It was very, very fun. But when AWS East fell over for like an hour or something yeah. like that, it was kind of funny because I was in Discord. And you know how communities can be. They can be a little bit adversarial.
Yeah, I mean, Discord okay. is a very apt name for what yeah. happens in
Absolutely.
The app.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And so in Discord, one of the guys was like, I bet you can't do anything because all of this stuff is based on AWS. Yeah. And I'm like, well, actually, it's not.
Yeah.
And let me show you why. And so I started up the game and I did this on the live stream. I have it pinned to my Twitch if you ever go check out my Twitch.
Epic.
And I started the game and I did not, I knew it should work, but like,
there was
a risk here, yeah. okay, of me doing this publicly on a live stream. And I started the game and I connected to somebody's node that they were running on their computer at home.
I hope it was the guy.
I hope so too. Yeah. I hope so. Actually, I think I connected to Smurfstorm, who's always a great dude. I feel like it was Smurfstorm. I don't know. But I connected to the to that node, and I was able to play an instance of the game that was running on his server, not on a centralized server farm. And you know, if you were trying to play any of the other major AAA games at the time, and you happened to be in the AWS region or one of the ones that didn't fail over correctly, then
you couldn't.
Yeah. And it's like,
and you were there.
Like, this is great. It. You know, I was playing it. It was fun. I got eaten by a Ravager.
With nobody, but yes.
No, there were other people there. That we got a few people in. It was fun. Nice. It was fun. You know, and so it was a really cool thing to be able to say, you know, look, this is why we do this. This is why DPIN is important. This is why, you know, these sorts of distributed systems are important, because they make them anti-fragile, you know, so you don't have a single point of failure that takes the entire thing down.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, it's an incredibly interesting anecdote, and there is a lot of solid information, some of which is technical there as well. Again, I'd like to rewind.
Sure.
When DPIN is activated, when you're trying, when you are actually connecting to a decentralized network, how does that functionally work? And could you also give an example of how Datagram, like as a how you're productizing it?
Sure. So it's kind of interesting. I had a little bit of a reputation at Gala as the give everything away for free guy.
solid business mind,
which really pissed off a few people, and I apologize. They're wonderful people. They're wonderful people. There's just a philosophical gap there, if you catch my drift. And so for me, when you look at Datagram, okay, everything that goes through the ecosystem, every time somebody touches the token, it's a burn.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is pretty exceptional, like, to be honest. So the way that we've structured things when you talk about productizing is there is the protocol.
Yeah. Which is the layer that you can deploy things onto that leverages the DPIN infrastructure network.
Now there's the protocol, and then there's business.
Yeah.
And then there's consumer.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the problem with most blockchain projects is that the business part is absent.
Yes.
So you have a protocol trying to connect to a consumer. Now, the number of consumers that are willing to deal with a seed phrase or the stress of Web3 or tokens or anything, the number of people that are willing to do that is not very large.
Yeah.
Like, it's getting better. It's getting better, but it's only getting better essentially at the rate of like the younger siblings of the people that are already in crypto get older. I mean, it's not like nobody who's like my grandmother is never going to use crypto.
Yeah.
Like of her own volition.
Yeah.
And so this is like one of the really critical pieces here, because what we're able to do is by saying we're protocol to business to consumer, our job here isn't to try to get individuals. Okay. Now, if we get individuals like random Web3 people that are
trying
connecting,
to leverage the infrastructure,
connecting directly to the protocol because they can, super great. Not a problem. Things are going to be super cheap for them.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great thing.
Or they're
wonderful.
Trying to build a business.
And that's the business part here. What we really want is people who recognize this is cheaper than anything else that we're going to get.
Yeah.
And then they build the business, and then they have consumers that pay them in fiat or whatever it is that they get paid in.
Yeah.
And then they take that and they buy tokens and they burn those tokens for the service that they need. Okay, so now imagine for a moment, and
positive feedback loop, basically.
Yeah, and this is kind of a cool thing. So let's say for a second that you wanted to deploy your own video calling infrastructure.
Yeah.
Okay. You could go to our website, you could download a bunch of stuff, you could white label it, you could have Roftel.
Yeah.
Okay. And you could build your own Roftel.com. It's a good name. It's one of my best ideas here.
Good one.
And then you basically take Zoom, okay, and you cut that cost in half.
Yeah.
You charge people for your own Roftel network.
Yeah.
And you can do that and run it on Datagram. Okay.
Yeah.
And people would pay you.
Yeah, of course.
And then you burn tokens and they get a cheaper service. They're contributing as a Web 2 user to the token economy of a Web 3 project.
Because it's seamless, basically. It's an infrastructure layer that's hidden.
So here's the crazy thing. We have over 2 million users right now that are all using Datagram. who are all contributing to the token economy through over 200 businesses, and none of them know that they're using distributed Web3 infra.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's magic.
Yeah, that is crazy. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Let's do it.
Well, actually, it leads me into a very solid next question, right? Is like, what is your strategy in terms of who you're going after? I mean, I know you're not going for the consumer. I know it's more of a B2B.
Yeah, it's a B2B thing. It's not that we're not going for the consumer. It's just that the consumer, the amount of work that you have to get a non-technical consumer, yeah, which is most people.
Yeah.
Okay, most people are not particularly technical.
Yeah.
The amount of work that you have to do to get the non-technical consumer into an inherently, yeah, technical environment.
And educate. And
you have to educate them and you have to help them. And this is all important stuff. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. But there are better things to do this with than TPIN.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to bring a non-technical person in. You introduce gaming. You introduce, yeah, like, you know.
And you build from there.
Like Tamagotchi type, you know, pet care things and metaverses and stuff like that. These are all
Pokemon Go, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. These are all fine things. But if you want to like actually make things better for a business,
yeah,
you reduce their costs, yeah, and you increase their uptime.
Well, so that's my question, right? I mean, is there like those that all make sense. And it makes complete sense, but first off, what's the strategy in terms of onboarding, right?
Yeah.
Is it Web 2? Is it Web 3? You already have, clearly it's been Web 2. How have you achieved that 2 million user base already?
So part of the way that we've achieved that 2 million user base is that Datagram is basically the spinoff of an already commercially viable Web 2 companies just decentralizing their backend.
Okay.
So working with Dr. William, who has another company, okay, we've taken that back end,
yeah,
okay, which was already decentralized, and now we're in the process of spinning it out. And that's,
gotcha,
what Datagram is.
Gotcha.
And so all of those users are now going through the Datagram ecosystem.
They're already reliant on it if they want to continue,
precisely,
to use the initial, yeah.
Now, here's where the secret sauce is in terms of the onboarding.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like sauce.
And this is a little bit of alpha for people. I hope people don't mind.
Minded alpha.
If you guys don't like alpha, just turn off the camera. It's fine. It's fine. Just turn it off. You know, go away, walk around for a few minutes. You take
actually,
a bathroom
it's
break.
Have the camera.
Sorry. But no, don't press pause because you're going to come back and hear the thing. Just walk
away.
The
point is to hear the thing, man. That's why you're on
this podcast. Alpha. It's fine.
Okay.
So this is the thing, is that part of what we have is we have a very robust referral structure where if you onboard a company, okay, and that company is contributing burns to the ecosystem, okay, then you as the user that brought that company to the ecosystem can receive from the company a referral that is a percentage of what was burned.
Yeah, okay.
So this is where you if you're the person that onboards, what was that?
De facto gas, basically.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're the person who is onboarded a giant company, okay, for example, one of the things that most people that are currently using Datagram is for hyper secure video conferencing.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, to be clear, one of the things that it can do. It is not the only thing that it can do.
Yeah, I think it's quite clear that it is actually the infrastructure layer.
Correct.
That can be deployed.
Correct.
And empower and
correct.
Empower a whole right.
But we do have a bunch of people who are using it for video conferencing, hyper secure video conferencing. And so essentially when you're having this video conferencing, you spin up your own node.
Yeah.
You're running your own node. Somebody connects to that node. It's essentially connecting to that node through a one-time use VPN tunnel, okay, that is going through other nodes in the network.
Yeah.
And so every single time you have a call, excuse me, my voice is shot today.
Yeah,
every single time that you have a call, it is this new tunnel.
New instance, essentially.
Exactly. And that data, whatever was transmitted through that, disappears. Okay. The only thing that is retained is that a call happened, it went through this node, and these resources were used.
Okay. And that's the on-chain element of it all.
Exactly.
Right?
That's the on-chain
that
element.
Was my next question, yeah.
You know, being able to use a chain in this case, most DPIN projects, and I'm not gonna name names here, most DPIN projects are very vaporous. If you
vaporware,
yeah,
vaporious,
yeah. You know, they have They'll have infrastructure, but they're, you know, reporting to a MongoDB. Okay. Gotcha. They're not, nothing's on chain.
Yeah.
And if Mongo goes
down, it's a centralized database and they're relying on that database.
Exactly. Yeah. So with Datagram though, everything is on chain. So anyone can at any point in time go verify what a specific node
and it's immutable
was doing. Exactly. And so that's a really important part of this ecosystem. And this is something that with the Datagram substrate, which, you know, by the way, this is like a super important part of what we have. Go ahead.
I said define the Datagram substrate because I'm wary of the fact that this may be veering into the more technical.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Passion is passion.
I'm trying to keep it down. I'll try to bring it down a little bit.
Your genius. I'll try to contain my genius is what you're trying to say.
No, not at all. I'm not a genius.
Please
don't try to do that to me. I'm not. I'm moderately clever at best. Moderately and only occasionally.
I'm very good at containing my genius. Actually, some people never identify.
They never notice. He's so undercover.
Never noticed.
I love it. So
you mentioned substrate, right?
Substrate, yeah. So, you know, when you think of Ethereum, you think of Ethereum as the home for launching tokens. Mm-hmm. Okay, especially back in like the ICO days, right?
It's what it's the layer that empowers people and enables people to issue their token project, project token.
When you think of Solana, you think of, or now increasingly like Base.
Yeah.
Okay. You think of meme coins.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's not to say that there aren't serious projects building on Solana or Base. There obviously are. Yeah. But, you know, if you want to just like yeet, you know, fart coin out into the ether, then you can totally do that on Solana with Pump Fund for like $0. And
come
you know,
up with a better set of words if you want to yeet fart coin.
Exactly. I mean, come on, that's what it is, right? Like that somebody was like, dude, you know, it'd be great. Fart coin. And then that's what happened. That's how that happened. You can't tell me that's not how that happened. You know what would be so funny?
I've not put in so much thought into fart coin.
If that was actually a serious, like backed project, that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, a workshop of like big brains working on, you know what it is? It's going to be fart coin for these reasons.
Well, coin fart.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Here's the whiteboard. We have a whiteboard. Continue. Look at our whiteboard. Anyway, if you want to throw that out, you think of Solana, right? If you want to deploy a deep end network, that's what Datagram's for. Okay. And what we provide for free for projects that want to deploy deep end networks, okay, is the ability to use this base layer substrate to put their workload on top of it. Correct. So the best way you can think of this is like a rail car, okay, like a train with flat cars, right? And then you put the containers on top of the flat car, and it runs whatever it is that you want. Yeah. So you have an AI inference program that you want to run, but you want to track your uptime and usage.
Yeah.
You use the Datagram substrate for tracking the uptime and usage, and then you run your other thing in parallel.
So continuing the metaphor, I mean, like flatbeds on trains, they can only take so much weight, right?
Correct.
So is there critical mass that is received? I mean, like,
so
how far can you go in terms of loading everything up? Because it is ultimately decentralized. And maybe the answer is far more than centralized.
Right? It is far more than centralized. So here's a great example of this. If you're using any normal video conferencing software, you can get usually about 100 participants before things start getting like weird. they say that you can get 500. Yes. I've not seen that.
Yeah.
Okay. With Datagram, you can get up to 10,000 participants.
Have you stress tested?
We have stress tested that.
Holy cow! I don't even know 10,000 people.
And that's for two-way RTC UDP. It's a disaster.
RTC UDP.
Real-time communications via the UDP protocol. Okay. So, it's feeding time at the zoo, and I wouldn't recommend it. But the point is that you can get a lot of throughput.
It supports a lot.
Okay, because essentially when you load up one node. Okay.
Yeah.
And using your train analogy. Okay.
It was your train analogy.
Yes, but you took it a step further.
I did.
So using your improved train analogy, if you pile too much onto one car, the car splits and that stuff balances out.
Okay.
And so more nodes
get involved. This is auto-balancing,
exactly.
Basically.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And so there's a decentralized AI controller that manages the balancing of the train cars, as you will. Mm-hmm. And that's how that works.
Okay, gotcha. And so you're saying it is the base layer that people can come and build and deploy, right? But it all does still sound quite intimidating, right?
It does. I'm trying to make it.
Does. No,
I'm
I mean,
trying to make it happier, but like it's
happier. It's not sad.
No, it's not sad, but it's like
it's like an accomplishment. But it's a marvel. But ultimately, like if I had,
I feel like we need a mascot, maybe a dog.
Where's Shine?
Shine. Shine is amazing, by the way. She handles a lot of the social network stuff, and she's amazing. So kudos to Shine.
Yeah.
Don't cut that.
She's our
that
mascot,
needs to stay.
But not here.
Shine needs to know she's appreciated.
Okay.
it's an intimidating thing.
It is, and like because there is so much. There are a lot of technical words, and I think they're misnomers, right?
Yes.
Because actually, yes. In fact, it is quite simple.
It is.
But you're just trying to be accurate in your description, right? It's like nodes, substrate, etc. I mean, one does follow the other, but if someone were to want to explore, for example, reducing their cost, improving their efficiency and capacity, how pragmatically, one step at a time, would they do that?
So the first thing that I would do is if you're a non-technical person and you just want to see how it works, go to demo.datagram.network and try it. This is, you can do the video conferencing. You can spin up a node. You can create a room.
Point and click.
You can invite your friends to that room and try it out. Works great. Works beautifully. And then the cool thing is you can see all of that on chain. Now, most people are uncomfortable and scared of explorers. So if you're not interested in that, that's fine. It's okay.
No, the point is
but
it is on
it's
chain.
There. It's there.
That's and you can auditable see record.
It. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now we're going to be doing some interesting things with our sort of alpha testnet here shortly, where we're going to invite, and this is, you know, great thing for the Animoca community. We're going to invite everyone to come in and actually participate and spin up nodes and, you know, use the network to the greatest extent. And there may or may not be some sort of token incentive surrounding that.
May or may not.
May or may not. You never know.
You never know.
But for debate, you know, like if you were to spin up a node and test it out and, you know, see how that works, you know, it's at least interesting and educational. Let's put it that way.
It is. And if it's point and click and easy.
It's very easy. It's
quite,
very easy.
Quite empowering.
It's extremely easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Greg.
No, go ahead. So you know, trying that out, you know, what we're trying to do, though, is we're trying to make this as easy as possible. Now, if you're just a normal person, you're likely not going to wake up and decide to deploy a deep end network.
Yeah.
So that in that sense, it may not be for you. But everybody knows somebody who might want to do that. And so if you want to get involved, the best way is to join our Telegram, to join our Discord, and pay attention to when there's opportunities to onboard other people. Because that can be, I mean, imagine what it would be like.
Passive
if
Passive income for you.
It could very much be. Imagine what it's like if you onboard.
This is obviously not financial advice.
No, that has nothing to do with finances. It's not like you have to pay anything to do this.
It's
a
earning, right?
Free thing. I mean, yeah. You're participating by bringing people in as users in this network, which is really cool.
Yeah. It is cool. It's very cool. And this whole thing it's kind of really eye-opening in terms of the functional application of DPIN, right?
Yeah.
Because being in the market, yes, there's a lot of talk about DPIN. There's mm-hmm. a lot of chatter. I mean, it's a buzzword.
It is a buzzword.
And
it's very much a buzzword.
The problem with buzzwords is generally they are used to raise capital as opposed to actually deploying. And it kind of gives...
You know how many AI agent projects I've been pitched on today?
I work at Animoca Brands. I don't need to know.
Yeah, okay.
They're pitched to me too.
Constantly. We're probably talking about the same
people.
I mean,
there is use for AI agents, sure.
No, don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
But everyone's pitching AI agents.
I mean, it's the flavor. I don't
It's the flavor
them.
Of the week.
I don't
it's the flavor of the week. I mean, I remember when you know, I remember the ICO phase. I remember the masternode phase. I remember the, you know, now we're in like the DPIN phase and the PDE phase. And
RWA.
RWA phase. And most people don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
It's really, yeah. It's a very narrative driven industry. It's kind of interesting.
This is why you're here. This is why we're talking through it. Because yes, it is a buzzword. And when the definition of a buzzword, it's a word that everyone is buzzing about. Yeah. But most people, as you say, don't know it. So thank you so much for dumbing it down for me specifically. I'm sure our audience are a bit more clued in than I am, but it was very, very useful. Is there anything else that you kind of want to pause it before, you know, we wrap?
I mean, I would like to invite people to try things out. Hmm. You know, I mean, blockchain is an interesting thing. I'm going to speak directly to the camera. I'm talking to you.
Okay? Break the fourth wall. How are you going to do that?
Absolutely. I will break the hell out of this fourth wall. So the deal with blockchain is that this is one of the only industries in the entire planet that you as an individual can have an impact, okay, as a member of the community simply by participating, okay? So if you've ever wanted to know, like, what is this stuff about? What is the tech about? What is the community about? Get involved, jump in there, talk to people, join Discords, join, you know, Telegrams, start doing something. Learn how to download and deploy something from GitHub. Okay. Like, it sounds scary. It sounds scary. It's not. Download something, try it out. Okay. Be careful. Make sure that you're not getting involved in things that you shouldn't get involved in. Okay. But have fun with it, because you as an individual can fundamentally change the direction of a project. You can build stuff. You can help people create things. You have a unique set of skills.
Yeah.
Okay. Not to, you know, start quoting movies here, yeah. But like, you have a unique set of skills that can actually make a difference for a project
that you might not even realize you have until you know, get involved.
Even if it's talking to people, shooting videos, writing, like, you have no idea, like, how many projects need competent copywriting. It's ridiculous.
True.
Okay, so there's so many ways that you can help with this. And this industry only grows if we all work together and we all support one another. So check it out, give it a shot. From the Datagram side, go to demo.datagram.network, and there's all the links to the socials and stuff there. Find me on X and, you know, all the other places. And, you know, I'm happy to talk about this sort of stuff. And, you know, let's build something awesome together.
As always, a great pleasure. Let's build something awesome together. That's what Animoca likes to do.
We're going to build the most awesome things.
There you go.
It's going to be great. I promised him I would do the Trump voice. It's the best voice. People, I don't say it. Other people tell me. They say, Jason, you do the best Trump voice. Can you please do it on a podcast? And I said, I don't know. Maybe if I feel like it, I will. And so here it is. Anyway, guys, thank you.
We're going to cut that, right? Okay. thanks, guys. We really, really appreciate you tuning in again. Stay tuned for the next one, where we will have an equally, don't be offended, but an equally interesting guest sitting next to me.
He's lying right now. I'm sorry. Just have to say it.
A lot of sound bites in this one. Cheers, guys. Till next time.